Hallo und Mamas Tee, so schön, dass du wieder eingeschaltet hast zum Mamas Tee Podcast. Ich habe Micaela Del Olmo hier in meinem Podcast und ich freue mich so sehr, ja, sie mit dir teilen zu können, weil sie für mich eine ganz spannende Frau ist. Sie verkörpert für mich das Thema Weiblichkeit zu 100%. Einfach ihre Passion für ihre Arbeit mit Frauen, die Frauen wieder in ihre Urkraft bringen soll, Frieden mit dem Körper schließen lassen und einfach diese Faszination, und das haben wir absolut gemeinsam, diese Faszination für den weiblichen Körper hat. Und ich wollte dir einfach schon mal einen kleinen Einblick geben. Sie wird ja am Donnerstag bei unserer Wow Mom Eventreihe dabei sein. Und wir freuen uns schon wahnsinnig. Dann kannst du sie zwar nicht live vor Ort sehen, aber auf jeden Fall live via Zoom wird sie dazu geschaltet. Und es wird auch auf jeden Fall genügend Raum und Zeit geben für den Austausch, sodass du deine Fragen stellen kannst. Und mit Micaela habe ich über Weiblichkeit gesprochen, über ihren ganz persönlichen Weg hin zu Becoming a Woman. Sie hat einen kleinen Einblick gegeben, wie sie aufgewachsen ist, und es war tatsächlich eher sehr männerlastig. Sie ist bei ihrem Vater aufgewachsen, mit ihrem Bruder auch, und hat sich einfach irgendwann auf den Weg gemacht und hat eine Weltreise gemacht, hat mit Urvölkern Kontakt gehabt und hat da wundervolle Rituale zu Weiblichkeit nicht nur selbst praktiziert und kennengelernt, sondern hat einfach diesen Ruf gespürt, es jetzt auch hier nach Europa zu bringen. Und von daher bin ich unfassbar dankbar, dass sie sich die Zeit genommen hat, hier im Podcast zu sprechen. Und ja, wir freuen uns so sehr, sie am Donnerstag dann bei Wow Mom begrüßen zu dürfen. Und ja, hier schon mal ein kleiner Einblick. Wenn du mehr wissen möchtest über das Wow Mom Event, es wird live in Koblenz stattfinden, in den wundervollen Räumlichkeiten von Jasmin Maria Klein. Und ich werde alles in den Shownotes verlinken, sodass du einfach nur noch ganz easy draufklicken darfst und siehst dann, dass wir jeden ersten Donnerstag im Monat ein Event haben, das Wow Mom Event, rund um das Thema Mutterschaft, Frau sein, Weiblichkeit, in die Mitte kommen, Freundschaft. Wir haben ganz, ganz, ganz viel, und das siehst du alles auf meiner Homepage. Also schau einfach mal vorbei, klick auf den Button in den Shownotes und ja, und da siehst du auch Micaela. Die ist da auch verlinkt und ja, und ansonsten freue ich mich, wenn du diesen Donnerstag dabei sein wirst. Und jetzt aber erstmal ganz, ganz viel Freude mit dem Interview. So, then I would say let's start. Micaela, oh, I'm so happy to have you in my podcast. Thank you very much for your time and I'm so happy to finally see you. Very welcome to the Mama's Tea podcast.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's an honor to be here connecting with you and the work you are doing, supporting other mothers, supporting other women is just so important and so precious. So it's really an honor to be here with you today. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yes, thank you. And I was so looking forward to the interview and to get to know you better. So for all the listeners, we just know each other from a friend of ours, and then she connected us, and then we were talking via WhatsApp all the time and felt such a strong connection. So my heart is a little bit beating right now. I can feel it. And I'm so looking forward for everything what wants to be shared about womanhood, motherhood, our body, and yeah, all the passion we both have for those topics. Yeah, so I would say let's start with you. So where are you and who are you and what do you think wants to be shared about you? What do you like to share with us about you?
Yeah, I love those questions. I love to explore that. I'm in Switzerland at the moment. I was born here in Switzerland. My mother is from Brazil, my father is from Italy, and just somehow I just happened to be born here and to be raised here, so in the French part of Switzerland. And I've been here for a few months, and it's been a journey of coming back home and grounding after years of traveling around and feeling my roots and connecting with one place for an extending amount of time, especially in this autumn and winter seasons, experiencing that fully, staying in the same place for the whole autumn, whole winter, whole spring. It's been a very deep, deep medicine for me. And so what to share about me? I would say what's relevant with our intention today of sharing our experiences around the body, around womanhood, around womb, is that so I work mainly with women and with womb health. So from natural gynecology to more the energetic, to more transgenerational ancestral traumas, as much as well as blessings that come from our lineage, and so it's just different approach from massage. I offer pelvic floor massage, abdominal massage, so different tools, different perspective to really hold space for women to come back to the wisdom of their body, to come back home to their body, creating space for them to explore what is, what wants to be felt, what is longing to be expressed, to be experienced through their body. So really working with this woman's empowerment, womb health, cyclic wisdom, and just holding space, sharing the knowledge. I was so blessed to receive tools also to come back to the body, to ground that journey from mind to body, tools that we can implement daily. And also for women that are in a path of fertility or wanting to reconnect with their womb, with their cycle. Mm-hmm. So I really, my intention, my work is to hold space to share tools for them to connect more with that and the intention behind that.
Yeah, it sounds so amazing, and I could dive into every topic you just talked about, and I think it's everything inside of me just says yes, you know, and finds light and I feel joy, because for a long time in my life I didn't really work with my body and with my womanhood, you know, and now sitting here and talk with you about that, and I'm so curious about your way. And it just makes me so, so happy. And I think it's so important to share all that knowledge with other women, because that's us, right? And we need to know it, we need to feel it, and we need to be connected with us and with our body without shame and all the judgments, right?
Yeah. And I think for me, it's what I often say, it's beyond my work. It's my prayer for the earth. It's my prayer for the world. It's my prayer for life. It's all those practices and the intention behind the practices, whether it's natural gynecology or massage or embodiment practices, somatic tools, all of this is what changed my life, mm-hmm. what transformed my life, what is still changing and transforming me daily. It's really a prayer for myself and for others. And so there's nothing that excites me more than sharing that and holding space within myself for that, mm-hmm. and also outside for other women. It's really a prayer, a deep intention for my life and for the world.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm so curious to know, how was your way to now, to 2023? So and to work with women and to be curious about all the knowledge. So how was your way in childhood and youth and become a woman? So how did that start? What would you say?
What I love in your question is the last bit, become a woman. This is a question that I've been asking myself. When did I felt for the first time that I was a woman? Mm-hmm. Which moment in my life did I felt I'm a woman? And so I'll come to that for answering this question. This path started for me in the other side of the pendulum, from a very deep disconnection from my body, from my femininity, from my womb. So I grew up here in Switzerland, and my father raised me. So my mother decided to leave when I was 11 years old. And so just that, I was home with my father and my brother. So I didn't have a mother figure that showed me what it is to be a woman, what it is to be a mother, what it is to be a woman. So I feel like I learned that later on, what it is to be a woman. There was kind of something missing there. I remember the first time that I had my first bleed, my first menstruation, and feeling I have no mother around me. My grandmothers are in Italy and Brazil, so I had no matriarch, no woman around me to show me, to share with me. And I remember this first bleed, this first menstruation, thinking, what am I going to do now? How am I going to even say this to my father? And feeling the shame and feeling very lost into what it is to be a woman. What does it mean? When I was younger, I also had different food disorder. So I was overweight, and I was compensating my pain with overeating. I was eating away my pain. I was eating away my shame. It was really my coping, surviving mechanism. And so that led me to be shamed at school, to be bullied at school. And this is when I started to associate my body equals pain. I'm being rejected by the community, by the clan, by friends, by people at school because of my body. I'm experiencing feeling abandoned and rejected because of my body. And other life experience and traumas that happened around my body, violence and different things where I really internalized and associated body equals pain. And I think we also live in societies where we are taught that it is safe to be in the body, to be in the mind, but not to be in the body. We learn and give validation to rational, logical, mental thinking and not to intuition. Intuition is the language of the body. It's that full body, yes, and that no, contraction. So I think there's something also, no matter what are our stories, unique stories, there's something also about the collective and about the way society is built in this time where we're experiencing our lives that encourage us to stay in the mind and not to go into the body. So this childhood, teenage, youth years, I really integrated my body is the reason why I'm not loved. It's not safe to be in my body. And so if I'm not in my body, where am I? The mind. And it led me to depression, to overthinking, to stress, to anxiety, and to a point where I remember feeling when I was 16, this cannot be my life. There was a strength that I give thanks to that energy, that spirit that guided me to look for help, because I felt this is not okay.
And was that a special moment? Was that, I don't know, did you go into the nature and sometimes it hits you, or was it an experience, or how did that come?
I have one image as you said that, as you asked me that question. I remember being in my room, sitting down on the floor and crying, but the tears were so strong. The pain was so strong. And I think it's after that I really felt I cannot keep living like this. Wow. And so all of this was the initiation into understanding that I didn't want this. It's like I had to experience it so strong, to see it so big in front of my eyes, to actually make a change. And so a few days later, when I went to school, I went to the nurse at school and I said to her, I'm not well. I need help. Wow. And she sent me to a psychologist, and this psychologist happened to also be a woman that worked with holistic approach. She also worked with different energetic methodologies and practices and essential oils and different things. And she started to talk about chakra and energetic centers and nutrition. And it was kind of the first door that opened to this world. And so then I'm very curious. So I started to read books about meditation and wanting to learn more. And it led me when I was 18, I finished high school and I decided to go to India. I decided I'm not going to go to university. I'm going to go to India. I'm going to go to Asia. I'm going to learn. I'm going to experience. I'm going to learn new tools and keep exploring my mind and my body. And so it started. That's really the start of the journey. And a big part of the first years in Asia was really, again, the mind, philosophy, meditation. It was more that approach. And I remember saying to one of my teacher, I'm doing everything. I'm reading all the books. I'm waking up at 4:30 to do my meditation. I'm still feeling the pain. What is it? So I'm understanding that I feel pain because when I was a child, this happened or that happened, but it's still not changing. I still react the same way, respond the same way. And that's when he told me, you have to go to the root, the body. You can understand what happens, but if you don't also move the memory of what you experienced in your body, you're going to keep vibrating that, attracting that, repeating that cycle. So you have to go to the root and also move it from the body. And he also said, you know, you don't need to understand where the trauma comes from. You can just move it and move the memory, the active memory that is still stored in the fascias in your body. And that's the second big door of, wow, okay, the body going from wanting to transcend to transform, to integrate, wanting to ascend, to going into descending, going back to the depth of my own roots, my soil, my body. And then different people I've met from that intention of, okay, the body, different people, different practices. And at the beginning, it was really difficult because I felt more comfortable in the astral. Mm-hmm. The vision, the meditations, the guided meditation. And I had some resistance to just simply stay with the language of the body, with my sensations. The door kept going, the flow guiding me through that. And then the womb came as an essential part of this connection with the body, being the root, being where this journey on earth started, in the womb of my mother. Mm-hmm. My whole body developed around my navel. This is the origin. This is the start. And it's the root where not just only all my spine is on top of the womb of the sacrum, but it's also where life started. Mm-hmm. And it's where a lot of women store trauma, tension, fears, shame, around the belly, around the womb, the hips. And at least it was for me part of my story. And so this path of the womb came as a very essential part of my journey of coming back to my root, to my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really want to come back to this part. But first, I would like to ask, how did you feel that brave to go to India? Because you said you were just finishing high school. And then what was it that you said, what was that energy? Because I think you have to be brave, you know, because especially during traveling, you face everything, you know, so you take your mind and everything with you. So what was the energy who took you to India? What would you say so that you felt that decision?
This is a question that I'm asked very, very often. I'm not sure. I would say God. Mm-hmm. Say something bigger than me. Mm-hmm. That gave me that strength and that courage. And I also feel that sometimes it's just like being so tired of the pain, mm-hmm. that it the desire to go for fear, for going out of the comfort zone, becomes bigger than the fear of pain. Mm-hmm. It's just like there was something of like, I need to change. Mm-hmm. Something needs to change. And it was a very radical decision. And this courage that I felt, because I had never been to Asia, my English was not as good as right now. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of money. I was 18 years old. I didn't know what I was doing. I had absolutely no idea. Mm-hmm. But the fear of staying forever stuck in my pain became just bigger than the fear of going into the unknown. Mm-hmm. I think there's a point where you become sick of your own loops. And the fear of being stuck in that loop becomes bigger than the fear of going into the absolute unknown. Mm-hmm. There was a deep sense. I didn't understand at that time. I didn't have the language I have today or the understanding I have today. But it was a deep, when I look back, there was a deep trust into what my body was telling me. And so there was a lot of excitement. I remember people saying, you're naive. You think you can go 18 years old to India with no money, no flight back. But I think there was a deep desire to really transform and to just change. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what were your father and your brother saying?
Well, my brother is younger, so he didn't say much. My father was confused and he had resistance and fear. I guess a father, he also has a very, a certain way of seeing how life should go, right? Mm-hmm. High school, university, job.
Yeah.
So a more a bit old school way of thinking and seeing life. So he had fear, but I think I was so, this is what's going to happen, mm-hmm. that he didn't question it or he didn't try to make me change my mind a little bit. And more I was anchored into this is what is right, less he was making comments, less he was saying, now you come back. Yeah. And first also I said it was just going to be for a few months. When it turned out that it happened to be years, there was a time where he stopped speaking to me. Mm-hmm. He really closed himself. I think it projected to him things that maybe he would have wished he could have done, but could not. And so he closed. And I think that's a very good point, because when we are going through those big transformation, taking risks, expanding, going out of the comfort zone, there are some people that are attached to the old version of us, that are attached to their own way of thinking, that will project their own fears. And that's why it is connection with our body, anchoring into what our body is telling us, our truth, our embodied truth is so important, because then you're unshakable.
Yeah.
When you start changing, people will start, some people might start to project things on you. They might be attached to old version of you, especially when there is that constellation of family, mm-hmm. and where it's the space where connection is strong. There's, or in some family, there's a sense of hierarchy. At least my father knows, you know? And so there was a need for me. That was the invitation to not go into doubt. Mind, maybe he's right, to what am I feeling? Mm-hmm. And no matter what, I take actions aligned with what my body's telling me.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a great example also when you said how much you were anchored in your decision, how less the environment asked about it, you know, or were questioning it. And I think that's a very good example, because it shows when we change something inside of us and we are quite sure about it, then the environment doesn't need to questioning it, you know? So, and I think it's a good example for that. And if you are more unsure about it, then the environment will or can shake you and can questioning it. And then, yeah, it's just life is just asking you, are you really sure? Do you want it? Are you doing to do it? And if do you really like it? And so on. Yeah.
I think it was also a reflection of parts of me that were still doubting. And so I was allowing this law of resonance, this law of what comes to us is also what we vibrate, what the vibration, what is within us. So the moment I closed, I didn't allow that doubt to come from the outside to the inside, because I had already processed the doubts from within and went into exploring why am I doubting, what is the fear. There is fear, okay. Fear is allowed. Do I want to take action aligned from that space of fear or aligned from that space of trust, love, embodied expression, embodied truth?
Yeah, definitely. And coming back to your questioning or your questions, or when you were questioning your teacher, like you still feel the fear and he said something about the body and you were diving into the womb and all the experiences you did. So how did you start? Because I think it's quite interesting for women when they say, yeah, I think I'm all the time in my mind and I don't know how can I connect with the body. So what were your first steps?
Yeah, a lot of medicine came to me in simplicity. Sometimes we have this idea that embodiment practices or coming back to the body needs to be some very strong practice that's going to be like, aha. For me, really, when I started to come in the body with very simple practices, sitting down, putting my hand on my heart, on my breast, on my womb, and feeling and staying with my body as much as I could. Sometimes it was 1 second and then what am I gonna eat tonight? Mm-hmm. And okay, back, staying with the body. The mind usually goes very fast. And so slowing down, really slow movement. And a lot of things were things that I was already doing, but I was doing from another approach. So dancing, for example, I always loved to dance, but then I started to open up as dancing as a way to come back to the body and dance with myself. So I would dance, but try to feel every sensation and dancing from not, I want to look nice. How does people think?
Exactly.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah. So not the disco dancing, like, hoo-hoo, it's me, can you see me, right? It's more just like, oh, what does my body feel, right?
Yeah, exactly. How does my body want to move? Yeah. Same sound. I love working with my voice. This was a big part of my journey. And not how my voice sound, but how does it feel? How does the sound feel in my body? How does the vibration of how does it feel? Your body, our bodies knows what movement it desires, needs, want. It knows which sound it desires, needs, want. So it just started to, it's just like I was doing the same, but observing, moving through life from a different angle, from a different perspective. What does my body wants to eat? And very simple practice of just feeling the different part of my body, looking at myself in the mirror and staying with myself, with all the emotion, thoughts that come, but staying with my body, staying in presence, self-massage, slowing down. Yeah. And also a big part was to reestablish trust, because a lot of the time it's just like if you don't trust someone or you're scared of someone, you're not going to feel comfortable and relaxed next to that person. And so I had to trust again my body, to reestablish a relationship with my body, to trust it in order to be able to fully stay with my body, in my body. So that space of trust also came through, okay, when my body says something, I honor it. If my body says, I don't want to go out tonight, and I'm not going, even if the mind is like, oh, but maybe you're going to miss out on something, or what people are going to think, or I'm just honoring what my body is saying to me. So reestablishing trust in the body, and it doesn't need to be big practice that looks, it can be simple things. Walking, when you walk in the street, can you walk being fully in the body, feeling each step, feeling the wind on your face, feeling the rays of the sun, the warmth of the sun. It's a very simple path, and I think that's where sometimes it gets complicated, because very often we are addicted with intensity. We need big things that stimulates us a lot. It's addiction to being stimulated, to dopamine, to adrenaline, to aha moments. And this comes more from the mind. Very often the language of the body is more simple, more, it's different. So, and it's enough just to have, it's enough. I don't need all the but there is some in the simplicity and connection with the earth as well, of course, was a big part of it. My body as an extension of the earth. This was something that also moved this connection with my own body.
Thank you so much for pointing that out, that it doesn't need to be something big most of the time, or a huge decision, or I don't know, a whole spa event, you know, that making peace with your body and connecting to your womanhood, just, or your femininity, just means touching yourself, you know. So when you were talking about it, so I remembered a situation yesterday, because I got my period, and I was standing in a line in a shop, and it just hurt it, you know. And back in the days, I was like, you know, so like in German we say aushalten, you know. And yesterday I put my hand on my belly, and I was just like, you know, touching it, and was very lovely and caring to myself and to my body and to that part that hurt it a little bit, you know. And all the time when I do that, it just, I'm so happy, and I feel so much peace inside of me, because I'm not fighting against it. I'm not fighting against my body. I'm just like, okay, I hear you. I'm there for you, you know. Or when you were saying touching my breast, you know, back in the days, it was like, oh, the breasts, they are just for my boyfriends, you know. and then I came, when I started with connecting to my body and with womanhood and everything, it was like, oh, they are so beautiful, my God. So I really love touching my breasts, because they are beautiful, they are so soft. And I was like, how could I think that they are just, you know, for someone else, you know? So first for my boyfriend, then for my baby, and that's it, you know. So and that's so sad.
It is, yeah. And I also really, well, first of all, I celebrate you for reclaiming your breasts as part of your body, as part of yourself. And also what you said, that you were in this line at the shop and you just heard the body saying, just feel me. And you put your hand on your belly and you took a deep breath. It can be that simple. It can also be for, especially for mothers, that I am not a mother, but I have a lot of mother around, and I can just imagine it. Being at service of a little being, raising a child, plus the own process and life unfolding. Sometimes a lot of mother tells me that they don't have an hour for morning practice, or they don't have the time. So it can be very simple. And I think it's those moments of presence, because the mind is always in the past or in the future. The mind is here to resolve problems. So it's going to create problems to have something to resolve, which is great. Thank you, beautiful mind. And the body has a different language. It's through the body that we can experience full presence, through the sensations. The body can bring us that sense of presence. Pleasure doesn't come from the mind, it comes from the body. Presence is that ability to be with what is, the body, the senses, what we feel in this present moment. And therefore, to calm the mind, to feel the body, to feel what is being experienced through the body in this present moment. So this is something very, very simple. It can also be just close your eyes for a second and feel that you are in a sacred temple, you are in your body, you're present, you're here. And ask yourself, how is my body feeling today? Or how is my breath feeling? If my breath could speak, what would my breast say? If my belly could speak, what would my belly speak? What would my belly say, right? So it can also be very simple. And I think especially for mothers that are trying to integrate practices in their daily life and that might not have 2 hours, an hour, or 5 hours to go to the spa or this time, to not let it be, I don't have time, so I will not. It can be for a few seconds, it can be very simple. And just remembering the body knows the way to pleasure, knows the way to what you desire. Your body knows the way to full presence. Mm-hmm. And so it's surrendering to that, calming the mind to be able to listen to the needs of the body. And I hear a lot of people, when they start, they're like, what do you mean your body tells you you need to eat potatoes? What do you mean your body tells you it's a no? And so there is, of course, as we said, first trusting the body, reestablishing a relationship of trust and presence with the body to be able to hear it. But then it's a muscle. If for your whole life you haven't asked yourself, how is my body feeling? Or you've never taken a deep breath with a hand on your heart, or you've never felt each part of your body, the sensation, of course, it's something new. And I like the example of when the water is very agitated, you cannot see what is underneath. I remember when I was doing a lot of scuba diving, the days where there was a lot of, because we can see through and we can see the corals and the fish that were always there. So the message are here. It's just the mind is not allowing us to see it because it's too agitated. So then comes different practices, and it's different for each person, how to calm the mind to be able to see through and feel the body. And then sometimes I feel I'm present with my body, but I can also at the same time hear my mind. That's another point. Some people say, oh, I don't think I'm in my body because my mind keeps talking. Like you can have one hand holding that child and the other hand holding that other child. You can be in the body and at the same time hear your mind saying things. So and finding a surrender, a peace into that. So it's also a path of not having expectation that connecting with the body will mean that here it's going to be pure silence for an hour.
And what you just said about what do I want to eat, what does my body says, and I was so impressed because a couple of days ago, so usually I'm getting my period with the full moon cycle, and but next week I will be in Barcelona, you know, a big city and so on, and I was just like telling myself, oh, it would be nice if I got my period right now because I have a little bit more time and I can, you know, be with myself and being at home, etc. On that day, my body was craving for spinach, you know, so, and something green because it has a lot of iron and etc. And usually I like eating spinach when I get my period, you know, and I was like, oh, okay, it's interesting. Okay, tonight I'm gonna make spinach. And a day later, I swear, they just came, you know, and I was like, my God, I love it so much that I'm so connected, and that it is so special because I didn't do anything big, you know. I was just talking to my body, and I think also the language, how we are talking to ourselves and our bodies when we see each, when we see us in the mirror, is so important too, you know? Like, so I'm not saying, oh no, I have my period, like I did back in the days, you know? It's just like, thank you. Oh, I'm so grateful that you are here, you know? And I love it. I love to feel it now. Or when I look in the mirror and there's something I don't like, then I'm just like, okay, that's okay, you know? But I'm not telling myself, oh, you're so ugly, look at you, da da da. It's so, oh my God, we would never say that to our friends, you know? But why to us?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And yeah, I'm curious to know about how it went further, your journey. So we were just talking about you starting to connect to your body. So becoming a woman, what were the next steps in your life?
So I have a specific moment that changed a lot of things in this journey, is that I received a pelvic floor massage. And I remember doing this massage, and after the massage, I felt how much this moment was important for the rest of my life. I felt like it changed something so deeply that I could never be the same woman, or I could never be the same after that again. You know those moments, you're leaving the moment, and as you're leaving, experiencing that moment, there is a feeling that this is important for the rest of your life, and this is going to change everything. And so as I was receiving this massage and going through all the process, all the release, and understanding all that my pelvic floor was storing, all that my womb was keeping, I felt that I was here to do that. Mm-hmm. I felt that this changed and transformed me, and I want to be able to offer that to other women, to give that, to share that, to be in service to that, to be in service to the feminine, to the body, and to holding space for women to experience what is feminine for them, what is being a woman for them, what is connecting with the womb for them, what is it for them, but creating space for them to feel, to melt into that. And so that's when I started to really go deeper into trainings, into learning, okay, how to facilitate, how to hold, how to, and what do I want to, there's so much, so do I want, what do I want to go deeper in, and to really go into courses and trainings to learn more. And it was a deep trust again of how guided I was, and then it just kept unfolding, meeting someone and then another person, and then feeling the call to go deeper into something. But really the path of womb health, womb care, natural gynecology is really the path that called me. I say I chose it, but it also chose me. The moment I opened up and let go of, I'm supposed to go to university so my parents would be happy, or I'm supposed to do that so I will be safe, or I'm supposed to just like, letting go of all the concepts, everything I had integrated, and really empty myself. This is something that I need to do very often, especially in this field, as I keep learning many different approach courses. Again, there's always moments, as we are cyclical, where I empty myself, where I empty myself from all that I learned, and what is still remaining, what is still me, what is still there. And so in this process of emptying myself of all the concepts and programming and things that I've learned that I should do, should not, should be, should not be, I've created space for something new. I've the death that allows and makes space for something else to be birthed. And so from that space of emptiness, I just was naturally, organically guided into this next phase of my life, which was to go deeper and to learn. And this went really more specific around the womb, I think, because I often feel that what we wish to receive or what we wish we had received can be or is often an indicator of what we are here to give.
Mm.
So being held by a mother, the feminine, the yin component, being loved and accepted by other for exactly how I looked like. Someone coming to me and saying, let's look at your relationship with food, with the earth. What emotion are you oppressing? Because what the mind oppressed, the body expressed.
Mm-hmm.
What I was experiencing, feeling, there was an emotional cause. So all of this that I would have needed as a child became the fuel, became the desire, became the initiation to what I'm giving today, mm-hmm. to what I'm offering today. So very often people ask me, how do I know what's my purpose? And there's many layers to that. But often I ask them in return, well, what do you want to receive? What do you need? What do you like to receive?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you love to give? And then there's an intention, there's a vibration, and then it can take different forms.
Yeah.
And for me, it was really, I wish women to feel held exactly as they are. I wish women to feel loved exactly as they are. I wish to women to know that it's okay to feel, it's safe to be in the body. And so then the form was yoni massage, pelvic floor massage, woman circle, cacao ceremony, voice activation. But that's the form behind this, an intention, a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Honoring the womb, honoring the earth. And then it took different forms. Mm. Yeah.
And what would you say is the magic with our womb? Why is it so important to because for me it was long time that, you know, until here it's just, oh, down there, you know. So why is it important to connect with our womb and to see us as whole with everything, with our period, with our womb? So what is the magic for us women?
Wow, there is so much.
Yeah.
structure. So I feel that something that is happening and that is so important on the collective is the integration of fragmented part of ourself. This illusion of division that is causing pain, wars, fight, all that we see in the macro, right, is also happening in the micro inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it is fragmentation, it is division, those war inside of us, separating what is good, what is bad. What is bad goes under the carpet,
mm-hmm.
covered by shame and guilt. And all those part of us that we thought we're not worthy of being loved, or we were not safe if we were that.
Mm-hmm.
We all put under the carpet. It doesn't disappear. It cannot disappear. It stays under the carpet. And if there is an ant or a small animal that passes in front of you, you might not see it, but if there is an elephant, you will see the elephant. So all those things that were put under the carpet, oppressed, they're going to keep showing up in relationships, in different situations, taking different forms, but same pattern, same energy, same emotion. It's going to keep coming, and every time bigger, just until it becomes an elephant for you to see it and process it and see, you're also my child. You're also part of me. You're worthy of being loved, of being accepted. And then when we accept and integrate, really it is as part of us, then it naturally transform. Just a river, if we put like a barrage, we say like a wall in this, yeah. in the river,
mm-hmm.
the river stops flowing. You just have to take it out. Take the resistance, the oppression, the fragmentation out, and the river then will naturally, organically flow. You have nothing to do. It will transform. It will move. So in this question of why connecting with the womb, why is it important? I would say it's important to connect with every part of our body. Every part of our body are worthy to be looked at, felt, And then why the womb specifically, and why is there such a big more and more people working with womb and sharing about the womb, is because I believe that it's one, if not the part of the body that was the most oppressed. Sexuality. The womb is here just for children. It's just here to conceive and give birth. And so the space that is the space of materialization, of manifestation, of creativity, of sensuality, of sexuality, of pleasure, of connection with our mother. We were in the womb of our mother. That was in the womb of our grandmother, all the way back to the first woman of our lineage. Deep wisdom. According to Amazonian tribe, the womb is an extension of the earth. And it's through the womb that we access the wisdom of the earth. This is why we have this cycle going through four seasons in 1 month. And so accessing elemental wisdom, cyclical wisdom through the womb. And so the womb is the center of creation, of life. This is through the womb that humanity keeps existing. And just taking a deep breath and understanding what this means, that every being on this planet went through the womb, through the portal of the womb, the initiation, the first war, the first world, the waters of our mother's womb. And a lot of oppression was around that. A lot. And we can look, especially being in Switzerland and Germany, I like to talk about what happened during the witch hunt, the crimes under which a woman was called a witch and burned, which was connecting with nature, which was using herbs and plants to heal. If a woman healed someone in a way that science / church could not explain, she was called a witch. Mm-hmm. This was a crime. Using plants, using natural way to heal was considered a crime. So this disconnected us from nature. Mm-hmm. Then another crime was to gather as women that with whom we don't share blood, women that are not part of the family, gathering as women without a priest or someone part of the authority. This was another crime. Again, this separated us from sisterhood, from being around other women connecting. And we come and touch this very deep sense of surviving. It's not safe. I can be killed. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was sexual energy. The other crime was also if a woman would have sex with a married man. It was not the fault of the man. It was the woman, because she used her sexual energy to attract and manipulate him. Mm-hmm. And so all of this created a deep fear that is still in our bones, that is still in our collective consciousness, that is still here. And they disconnected us from this feminine energy, which is the earth, which is a sisterhood connection, which is a sexual force. So then there is so many different ways to look at it. But there is a deep disconnection from this center, and it's centuries. This wound travels from very far and is still carried in the way we talk to children about the womb, about menstruation, menstrual shaming. It's cultural programming. It's still here.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a deep call from the earth itself for all of us to remember the power of the womb, the importance. And if we look into Taoism, if we look into shamanic approach, if we look into yogic tradition, the womb is the root. It's the first centers, the Muladhara and the Swadhisthana, the pelvic floor, and this, those two first centers. And this is where we take the energy all the way then up. It's our roots, energetic, physical roots. So I think it's important to connect with every part of the body. And I think maybe there's more work and more attention around the womb, as for many reasons. And then also it depends on each family, each culture. This is a part where we were completely disconnected from, and so might need more attention to return and to unpack all those layers of shaming, of pain, and And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for sharing. And yeah, I think there's so much truth inside in what you just said, you know, all the experiences not only we made, also our mothers, grandmothers, and what happened to women back in the days when they were connected with the source, you know. And it was like a window which opened to myself when I started to not avoiding my womb anymore and started connecting. And I remember I read a book. It was about the womb and shamanism, and I started crying. So the first sentences I read, I just started crying, like something was saying, finally, hi there, nice to see you again, you know. And it was just like magical for me. So what would you say are your maybe three practices you have learned on your journey to connect with your womb or with your body or your womanhood? So what would you say, what rituals do you like?
Okay, so the first one, nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bare feet on soil, sitting by a river and really listening, really looking at the water, feeling really spending time in nature in full presence. Mm-hmm. The second tool for me that it's very important and big part of my work also, what I offer, is a massage touch. Mm-hmm. So it can be just softly caressing yourself. It can be massage. It can be also internal and asking your womb if it's okay, if you feel, if it's at this moment okay for your body. But touching your womb, looking even in the mirror at your vulva, at this part of your body. Some women never saw this part of their body. So looking at it, touching it. Massaging your breast, offering a massage touch to your body. So I would say connecting with nature, massage. And the third one for me is movement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dancing, again, from the space, how does my body want to move? It doesn't have to look nice. I don't have to look nice. I don't have to fit in a box. How does my body want to move? Mm. Very often when my mind is very strong, I'm going to lie down on the floor and dance on the floor. Mm. I'm going to really dance on the floor and feel this connection with the ground. Or I'm going to do very low or primal sounds. If the mind is very active, I can balance it by going into some more tribal animal energy. So dancing like if I was part of a tribe and connecting what it is, wild energy that brings us back to nature, that brings us back to the roots, to our roots. Also connecting with my cycle. I know it's four, but I give one last one.
And I have five more.
Connecting with my cycle for me was a big part of connecting with my body, because it's just like when I go out, I look outside. Is it raining? Is it sunny? I don't wear the same clothes in winter than in summer, because I look at the season, at what's happening. And so it's the same, looking what's happening inside of me and then knowing, okay, I prefer this food. This food supports my premenstrual phase. This food supports my ovulation phase. Or I'm going to do this natural gynecology practice or this ritual because I know I'm about to bleed and shed old skin and die and be rebirthed. So understanding what happens at a hormonal, physical, emotional level in the menstrual cycle. And then for me individually, because the way I experience my ovulation is different than the way you experience or another woman experiences the ovulation phase. Understand the archetypes that are being called, activated in this phase, and what are they inviting me personally as an individual to feel, to express, to experience. So connecting with the cycle, with our own inner weather, inner season, and live a life accordingly, so we can live not against our body but with our body. Yeah. For me it's a very essential part of my connection with my womanhood, with my body, with the earth as well, being part of her and therefore cyclical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. I love that. Yeah, according to the time, I have one last question. And maybe it's not... It's not an easy one, but I would really like to know, let's just think about how can I ask it. So it's about how can we create a relationship with our mother or grandmother, even when it's not the easiest right now. You know, because sometimes it's you know, you were saying like, okay, our mother, she gave birth to us, and then the grandmother and so on. So we are connected to our ancestors, but sometimes right now the relationship is not that easy. So how would you say, or what would you recommend?
Thank you for this very important, beautiful, deep question. One thing also, when we speak about ancestors, it can be women that or men that you don't know about. It can be 10,000 years ago. It can be 5, 6, 2, 3 generation before yours. Some ancestors, we might not know their name. We might not know their face, but we can feel the blessing, the support. So also when we call our ancestors, for the woman that have maybe a difficult relationship with their grandmothers, it can go beyond those that we've met or those that we know about. I believe that I believe that we don't need to stay in touch in relationship with everyone. Whether they are blood related or not. I also believe in the importance of honoring ourselves, our energetic space and our needs beyond the loyalty that comes when it's family members, which is deeply rooted in our genetic as well, this loyalty to the clan. I believe that we don't need to know about our ancestors to receive the blessing or to be physically in touch with our parents, to be connected to our lineage or femininity. Or I believe that it's a very individual question, depends on each case, but we don't need to stay in touch with any human beings, and not especially if they are with this thing of loyalty because we are blood related. And I also believe in the responsibility we have as human beings of aligning what we feel, what we vibrate, what we do with what we say. This responsibility also, I've chosen that, to look inside myself when something triggers me. What is being triggered inside of me? It doesn't mean what the mother or father does is right. But what looking inside, what is being triggered? What is the wound that is being activated? That is often a wound that is being repeated in the lineage. It doesn't mean that what they do is right or that they are right, whatever is happening in the story. More what is the teaching for me? What is being activated? What am I asked to do, to resolve, to forgive, to express? And boundaries. Boundaries are so important. Yeah. To allow yourself to put boundaries, even if when it's family member, there is the guilt. I should be a good daughter. I should see them. There's also the wounded child. There is a big grief, grieving from the fact that our parents were not the way we needed or wanted them to be. So grieving, allowing yourself to grieve. My mom is not soft. My mom is not caring. My mom didn't show me or told me that, to grieve, to let that sadness, that grief, and to then come to this space of how can I bring that to myself. And if it's really toxic, in some cases, the relationships are really toxic. So that's why it really depends from relationship to others. It's really boundaries, strong boundaries, and looking at what dynamic is still there, stagnant and stuck, and what sometimes is just really space and boundaries, but also feeling the sadness that maybe our mothers were not the way the little girl inside of us, or the maiden, or the woman we are today needed. We didn't have this example or that example of what it is to be a woman. And so there is sadness, there is a grieving, there is allowing the anger and the rage to be processed, not put them under the carpet. It's okay to be pissed off. It's okay to be angry, to express it. And then, of course, we always have the conscious choice of how do I express it? Mm-hmm. And there's ritual and practice and things to express in a healthy or way that feels good for you and the people around you, that rage and that anger. Am I answering the question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I guess so. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom, your story, your point of views. And I'm so grateful for the conversation. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm so happy that you are in my life right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me here on your beautiful podcast, and thank you for everything you are doing for other women, for mothers. It's such an important work, and very, very much celebrating you and this project and what you're creating. And thank you for listening, for creating that space.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. And I have so many more questions, and I hope finally we're gonna make it happen to see each other soon and then dive into your work and to know more about your work. And I'm so looking forward for everything which is coming. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ich hoffe sehr, dass dir diese Folge gefallen hat und dass sie dich genauso inspiriert hat wie mich. Als ich mit dieser Reise begonnen habe, ich habe es auch in der Podcast-Folge, das hast du ja gehört, ich habe ein Buch gelesen dazu und habe gleich Tränen in den Augen gehabt. Und während des Interviews gab es tatsächlich ein paar Momente, wo ich auch Tränen in den Augen hatte und spüre einfach, wie wichtig diese Arbeit ist und wie sehr ich sie liebe und wie ich das mit Michaela teile. Also hinterlass mir super gerne deine Gedanken zu der Folge. Schreib uns gerne über Instagram oder einfach eine E-Mail. Lass uns verbinden, lass uns connecten, lass uns treffen am Donnerstag bei Wow Mom, Time to Shine. Und danke fürs Zuhören. Danke, wenn du selbst losgehst, wenn du in die Heilung gehst, wenn du deine Kinder anders erziehst und wenn du einfach gewisse Dinge hinterfragst, weil deine Intuition es dir sagt. Mach's gut, Mamas Tee, deine Lisa.